All right, if you have your Bibles, go with me tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We will get back to the kings of Israel next week, but there is a chapter in particular, a phrase in this chapter that has arrested my attention in recent days, and I just had to share it with somebody, so I'm going to share it with you tonight. Acts 17 tells the story about Paul getting the gospel to the people of Thessalonica. If you remember, he was publicly beaten in Philippi. He was imprisoned. God showed up. There was an earthquake. They found out the next day that they had beaten a Roman citizen, and they begged Paul to leave Philippi. He went directly from Philippi to Thessalonica and boldly declared the gospel. Some people believed it. Some people didn't believe it. But he faced opposition there as well. They went looking for Paul at the house of a man named Jason. They didn't find Paul there, but they drug Jason and his household out of the house and told the governors of that city, "These are they which have turned the world upside down." We believe that Paul ministered in Thessalonica no longer than a month, but it was one of the greatest ministries that God ever gave him. And tonight, we're going to learn a little bit about his ministry in Thessalonica. So look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 1. "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." So Paul is speaking about when he came to Thessalonica in Acts 17.
His ministry in Thessalonica.
But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile,
that it was not in vain.
But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel,
about when he came to
even so we speak,
Acts 17.
Not as pleasing
even
men,
after that we
but
had
God,
suffered before,
which trieth
and
our
were
hearts.
Shamefully entreated, as you
for
know,
neither at
Philippi,
any time use
we were
flattering
bold
words,
in our God
as
to
you
speak
know,
unto you the gospel
nor a cloak
God
of covetousness.
With much contention,
God is witness.
For our
nor of men sought we glory,
deceit,
neither
nor
of you,
nor
yet of
nor
others.
Guile,
when we might have been
we
burdensome
of God
as the apostles
to be
of Christ,
put in trust with the gospel,
but we were gentle among
even
you,
even so we speak,
even as a nurse
not cherish, as pleasing
cherisheth
men,
her children,
but God, which
so being affectionately
hearts,
desirous of you,
for neither at any time
we were willing
we
to have imparted
words,
unto you,
as you know,
not the gospel of God only,
of covetousness,
but also our
witness,
own souls,
nor of men,
because ye were dear
glory,
unto us,
neither of you,
for
nor
ye
yet
remember,
of
brethren,
when
our
we
labor
might have been
in travail, for
as
laboring
the apostles of
night
Christ,
and day, because
we
would not be chargeable unto any of you,
even as a nurse,
we preached unto you the gospel of God.
So
ye are witnesses, and God also,
you,
how holily
we were willing to
and
have
justly
unto you,
and unblameably we behaved ourselves
only,
among you that
but
believe,
also our own souls,
as you know how we exhorted and comforted
us,
and charged every one
for
of you
remember,
as
brethren,
a father doth his
our
children,
labor and travail,
that you would walk worthy of God,
night and day,
who hath called you unto
we
his
would
kingdom,
not be chargeable
into
unto
his glory.
Any of you.
We skip ahead now
unto
to verse 19.
The gospel of God.
For what is our hope
and God
or
also,
joy?
Our
crown of rejoicing
and justly
are not even ye
in
the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his
believe,
coming
as
ye
know
are
how
our
we
glory
and comforted
and joy
and charged every one of you.
There's
as
a phrase that I would like for you
children,
to notice in verse 4
that you would walk worthy of
Paul
God,
says but as we were allowed of God and here's
kingdom,
the phrase
into his glory,
to be put in
skip ahead
trust
now to verse 19
with the gospel.
For what is our hope?
And I want to speak to you tonight entrusted
crown of rejoicing,
with the gospel.
Are not even ye
the issue
in
of
the
trust
presence
is really
of our
central
Lord
to Christianity,
Jesus Christ
isn't it?
His coming.
I mean, after
for
all, we're saved by grace through
and joy,
faith. It's central.
There's a phrase
and
that
I think
would
Christianity
like
really revolves around two questions, the first
Paul
of which
says,
is
we
can I
God,
trust
phrase,
God?
To be put in
can I trust what the gospel says about God?
The
that on the one hand he's holy
and
just,
to speak to you tonight,
on the other hand he's gracious and forgiving.
Gospel.
That as the Bible says, I'm defiled by a sin nature.
Isn't it?
Disobedient to
when
God's law.
We're saved by
spiritually
grace
dead, damned
faith,
to an eternity in hell.
Central.
And unable to do the first thing
really
to remedy my situation.
The first of which is,
but
can
that
I
God who is rich in his mercy.
God.
For his great love wherewith he loved us has sent his son to become his substitute on the cross.
On the other
he's pardoned our sins, paid our debts,
as the Bible says,
placed us who were the enemies of God as beloved children in the family of God.
Spiritually,
can I trust what God says that the way to heaven is not by works, as so many say that it is, but simply by resting in his work on my behalf. You see, if you're a Christian, there had to be a point of time in your past when you came to God with nothing but your sin and you trusted him with your eternity, with your life, with your very soul. To become a Christian, a person must answer the question, can I trust God with yes?
As so many say
I can trust him with everything.
But simply by resting in his word.
But not only do we have to answer the question, can I trust God? The second great question is, can
God
trust me?
And you trusted him.
You see, I became a Christian when, as a 6-year-old boy,
life,
I saw the change in my parents' lives.
Soul.
You've heard my testimony.
To become
I was hearing the gospel clearly for the first time in my life, week in and week out at church. And
yes,
I believed that God could keep his promise to save me and that I could trust him with my soul.
Do we have to answer the
but
question,
what I did not know as a boy
God,
in my pastor's office that day,
great question
that while
is,
I was trusting
God
Christ with something,
me?
He was trusting me with something.
You see, I became a Christian when
I was trusting him with my soul.
I saw the change in my parents'
he
lives. You've heard my
was
testimony.
Trusting me.
I was hearing the
gospel,
clearly for the first time in my life. Weekend,
I put my faith in the God of that
and
gospel,
and
I was saved. And
God
he turned right back around
me,
and put that
and
good news in my hands
my
to get it to as many people as I could
as
for as long as he gave me life and strength.
That while I was
so, can we trust God?
Christ with
yes. So the real question for a Wednesday night crowd is, I think, can God trust me? And the answer to that question is, of course, bound up in what we do with this wonderful thing called
the gospel. I put my faith in the God of that gospel, and I was.
Do you remember the story of the conversion of the Apostle Paul?
And put that good news.
He was headed down the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. He saw a bright light.
He
headed into town. God sent Ananias to pray over him, to heal him of his blindness.
So the
Ananias said, I'm not too sure about this Paul guy. He's persecuted a lot of Christians. You remember what God told him? He said, Paul is a chosen vessel. Don't miss it. From the very first moments
of
his salvation, Paul was saved not only by
the
gospel, but for the gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, every single one of us, no matter whether we were saved last week or we've been saved for 50 years, we're saved not only by the gospel, but for it. I quoted a little bit from Ephesians chapter 2 just a moment ago. We love verses 8 and 9. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But let us never forget that verse 10 immediately follows, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we would walk in them. Don't miss this. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father and God the Son planned your salvation. They planned that not only would we be saved by grace through faith in Christ, but that we would be saved to a work of good works, not just for the gospel, or not just by it, excuse me, but
verse 10 immediately follows.
Every recipient of the gospel has a responsibility to the gospel. And Paul says, I've behaved myself among you the way that I behaved Thessalonica, though I was beaten in Philippi and in the place before that and in the place before that and opposed when I got to your town. I behaved myself that way because I realized I've been trusted with the gospel.
Not just for the gospel.
And ladies and gentlemen, every single believer in this room
every
has been given the same
gospel,
sacred trust.
Has a responsibility.
We've been trusted with the gospel.
To the gospel.
Now Paul tells us
in
the passage that we've just read
that
being entrusted with the gospel is a call to courage. It's a call to compassion. It's a call to character. And let's look through this passage very quickly this evening. First of all, it's a call to courage.
And ladies and
he says in verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. He says, because I've been entrusted with the gospel, I am compelled and called by God to speak the gospel
boldly. He says in verse 1, for yourselves, brethren,
now the word bold there means to speak freely, to speak all things, to be bold and courageous. It was often used in that time to describe freedom of speech. And in that time, the only people that had freedom of speech were Roman citizens. Those were the only ones who could speak their mind and not worry about reprisal. Paul's boldness didn't come from the authority of government. It came from the power of God. Can I remind you that that's where our boldness derives as well? Jesus said in Matthew 28,
all
power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I want to tell you tonight that being a good steward of the gospel requires boldness or courage. Now Paul says some interesting things about courage here. And why
Paul's
it's so important in the Christian life. Let's ask this question.
Paul,
why do we need courage?
Well,
he says in verse 1, you know that our entrance unto you was not
in
vain.
Go ye
now remember, he's writing about his time in Thessalonica. And he says, you remember, you were there, that it wasn't in vain. Our ministry there wasn't empty. It wasn't purposeless. It wasn't fruitless. It had a result.
And why it's so important.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's why we need boldness. Because we don't want our lives to be in vain.
Well, he says,
we don't want to come to the end of our lives and say, my life was nothing. It accomplished nothing. Nothing happened. I sat in the shadows and I never opened up my mouth and I never really attempted anything for God. And I got to the judgment seat of Christ and I found that it amounted
our
nothing.
Ministry there wasn't empty.
Paul
it
says, no, our entrance unto you was not vain.
It
was purposeful. It was fruitful.
And ladies and gentlemen,
when we came to you, something happened.
Because we don't
that was what we talked about in Acts chapter 17.
We don't want to come to the end
Paul,
of
after having been beaten in
Philippi
and in the place before that and the place
nothing.
Of that,
nothing
could have slunk around in
the shadows.
And
I never opened up my mouth. And
he could have played undercover Christian.
And I got to the
he could have walked around that town with a happy look on his face.
Nothing.
And waited for someone to ask him, Paul, why are you so happy?
It was purposeful. It was fruitful.
Do you know what would have happened in Thessalonica if that would have been Paul's strategy with the gospel?
That was what we talked about in Acts chapter 17.
Not one soul would have been saved. Not one church would have been started. Nothing.
Could have slunk around.
Some people in Thessalonica liked his boldness. Some people didn't like it. But at the very least, they recognized
that
was turning the world upside down.
Happy look on his face.
It was Catherine Booth, the wife of the founder of the Salvation Army, who said this: to better the future, we must disturb the present. Folks,
nothing.
It takes courage to disturb your
not
teenager when
saved.
They're heading down
not
the wrong path.
Not one church would have been started.
Nothing. It takes courage to say to
some
one of your Christian friends,
like
brothers, I see some things in your life right now that it's not right. You've been missing church. Your conversation has changed. Your attitude has changed. It takes courage to do that.
The wife of the founder
it takes
of the
courage
Salvation
to sit
Army,
down at a
this,
table and disturb the lunch of a coworker to share the gospel with them. But listen to me, to better the future, we have
folks,
to disturb the
to
present.
Disturb your teenager
we can slink around in the shadows. We cannot speak up when we should. We can live a life absent of boldness,
friends.
But if we do, it will guarantee that our lives
right
have been in vain.
It's not right.
And that we have not been faithful with the
your
gospel
conversation
that was
changed.
Entrusted
your attitude
to
has changed. It takes courage to
that's
do
why
it.
We need it.
It takes
where do you
courage
get courage?
Sit down at a table
well, Paul says in verse
2,
we were bold in our God.
Listen to me.
God.
To better the future,
where do you
we
get
have
it?
To disturb
you get boldness
the present.
From God.
We can sleep
Some
around
people
in
think
the shadows.
Boldness
we
is only for type A
we
personality.
Should. We can live a life absent
Sanguines
of boldness,
who are easily
but if
outgoing.
We do, it will guarantee that
Others
our lives
think
have
that
been
boldness
faithful.
Is for years gone past.
With the gospel
it's brashness.
That was entrusted to us.
Some people think boldness is plastering your car with stickers
where
that say,
get
turn
courage?
Or burn.
Well, Paul says in verse 2,
or forwarding those religious emails with the pictures of the flame of hell and all the text in all caps.
You get boldness.
Listen
God.
To me. Biblical boldness is not a
Some
personality
think
trait.
Boldness is only for type
it
A
is certainly not brashness.
Sanguines, you are easily
because
outgoing.
Here in just a moment, we're going to find
Others
out that not only
that
was Paul bold to speak the gospel,
years gone past.
But he was as gentle
it's
with
brashness.
The Thessalonians as
Some
a mother
people
was
think
with
boldness
a newborn
is plastering
child.
Your car with stickers that say,
Where
Turn.
Do you get boldness.
Or forwarding those religious emails with the pictures of the flame of hell
and
all the text in all caps.
Now, what does boldness
look
like?
Listen to me. Biblical boldness is not a personality
trait. Well, it looks like two things. First of all, it looks like freedom from the approval of men. He says in verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. He says it again in verse 6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. And Paul says, the boldness that I spoke to you with was freedom from the approval of men. We didn't preach to please men. We spoke to please God who tried our hearts. We weren't concerned about getting glory or approval from you or anyone else. He points out in verse 5 that because they weren't trying to please men, they didn't speak with any flattering words. They weren't trying to impress. I'm convinced that many times we lack courage in the Christian life because we love the acceptance and praise
of
other people.
We didn't preach to please
men. We're afraid to open up our mouth because we might lose it.
Who tried our hearts.
Courage looks like freedom from the approval of men. It also looks like freedom from money and worldly comforts.
He points out in verse 5,
he says in verse 5, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, nor God is witness. We didn't use flattering words. We didn't wear a cloak of covetousness. That means we didn't use the gospel to cover up our true intentions to make money off
of
you. How many of you understand that much of the prosperity preaching that takes place in our land is nothing but a cloak of covetousness? It's done by greedy men and women who would use the gospel to exploit weak-minded people.
He says in verse 5,
Paul says we weren't trying to make money for you. We worked for our living in Thessalonica. We made tents so that we wouldn't be afraid to say to you what needed to be said to you.
That means
most of our cowardice in the Christian life can boil down to those two things. We don't want
to
lose the approval of others, or we don't want to lose some position or possession we're afraid we'll forfeit if we open our mouth.
It's done by greedy men.
Wouldn't it be great, folks,
use the gospel
if we really could live a life free from the approval of other people?
Paul says,
wouldn't it be
freeing? Trying to make money for you.
Wouldn't
we
it be great that if we weren't worried to serve the Lord because
so we wouldn't be
we
afraid
were,
to say to you
we were absolutely
to
secure
you.
In what God had given us. We
Most
weren't worried about losing money and worldly
can
comforts.
Down to those two things.
How do you
we
get to that place where you're so secure
others,
that you're courageous and bold? Paul gives us a hint in verse 4.
If we open our
he says, but as we were allowed of God, to be put in
we
trust
really
with the gospel.
We really could live a life free from the approval of
that word allowed is also translated in 2 Timothy 2:15
Wouldn't it be great that
as
if we were worried to serve the Lord
God.
Because we
That's what it
were,
means. We were allowed by God to have this gospel. We were approved by God to have it. Don't miss this. The way to get free
get
from the approval of men is to find your approval in God.
And bold.
The way to get free from worldly comfort and security is to find your comfort and security in Him. Our boldness to declare the gospel comes from the
that
gospel
word
itself.
That allowed is also translated in 2 Timothy
When you're convinced that you have the love and approval of the
God
of the universe, it won't matter so much to you if one of 7 billion people doesn't approve of you.
By God to have it.
And if you're convinced that you're laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't corrupt and where thieves won't break through and steal, you won't be so worried about losing a promotion or giving up some overtime to take a stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find our boldness in the gospel itself.
When you're convinced that you have the love and approval
we've been entrusted with
the universe,
we have to be courageous enough to open up our mouth and give it to other people. When you got saved, he put it in your hands.
For yourselves treasure
and he
in
called
heaven,
you to a lifestyle
corrupt,
of courage.
And where thieves won't break through and steal. You won't be so worried about losing.
Not only is it a call to courage, it's
a
call to compassion. I love these verses. Look at verse 7.
We find our boldness in the gospel.
But we were gentle among you
itself.
Even as a nurse cherisheth her children.
We have
so
to be
being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto
you
not
saved,
the gospel of God only,
and
but also our own souls,
of courage.
Because you were dear
it's a call to courage.
Unto us.
Not only is it a call to
Paul
courage,
uses incredibly descriptive language here.
I love these verses.
He says first
look
in verse 7, we were gentle. The
but
word
we
gentle means warm, nourishing,
even as a nurse
to cherish someone.
Children.
It was used to describe a bird who was warming her eggs.
We were willing to have
you can imagine how gentle a mother bird would be when she first sits on her eggs to keep them warm. Wants to make sure she won't crack them. Paul says, we were that gentle among you.
Paul uses incredibly.
He says, we were gentle as a nurse.
He says first
in verse
7, we were gentle.
As a nurse cherisheth her children.
The word gentle means warm.
The word nurse literally means a wet nurse.
To cherish someone.
The word was also used to describe a nursing mother.
A bird who was warming.
Is there any picture more gentle, more nourishing, more compassionate
a mother bird would
than a mother cherishing her newborn child?
Eggs to keep them
Paul said that's how gentle we were.
Wants to make sure she won't crack them. Paul
says. He says in verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you.
As a nurse.
We don't talk like this anymore.
As a nurse,
but the words mean to long for.
The word nurse literally means a wet nurse.
Archaeologists have found this very phrase on a grave inscription.
Is there
describing
any picture
the yearning
gentle,
of parents
more more
for their dead child
than a mother cherishing her
you imagine
child.
The emotion that a parent
said,
would have
gentle we
for their child who has passed away. And Paul
he
says,
says
I feel that
eight,
same deep
so being affectionately desirous.
It was also used to describe deep affection
like
in romantic
anymore.
Terms, deep
but the
attraction.
Words mean
in other words, this is a heavy, emotional, relational language. He's saying, I loved you. I didn't give you the gospel only. I imparted my own soul to you. He says in verse 11, we tried to encourage and instruct you in the way that a father instructs his children. He says, I'm gentle towards you the way a bird is gentle toward her eggs. The way a mother nurses her child. I feel as strongly for you as a parent feels for his dead child or a lover feels for his beloved.
He's saying, I love
you. So don't get the idea, folks, that we've been faithful to the gospel because we've knocked on a door. And we're bold to speak, and we've pressured someone to pray a prayer, and we put a little mark in our soul winner's New Testament, but we never went back to that house to follow up.
He says, I'm gentle towards you.
Don't get the idea that we've been faithful with the gospel because we've ranted on social media, and we've took our stand, but never did anyone to help anything having to do with the stand. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been called to be bold as lions.
Don't get the idea, folks, that we've been faithful to
the gospel.
Because we've knocked on a door.
Imagine it.
And we're bold to speak.
Not just to
and we
speak to people, not just
to pray
preach
a prayer,
to them.
We put a little mark in our soul
them.
Winner's New Testament, but we never
and
went
I think
back
somewhere
to that
along
to
the line
up.
We were told that if we were bold,
don't get the idea
we
that we've been
be
faithful with the gospel because we've ranted
that if we were
on
loving,
social media and
we
took our
bold.
Stand, but never did anyone to help.
Can I remind you what John said about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said
ladies
in John chapter
1
that the Lord Jesus Christ was full of grace and truth. We could easily say it this way. He was full of truth, boldness, and grace, gentleness. Boldness without gentleness is nothing but angry extremism. Gentleness without boldness is nothing but empty sentimentality.
Can I remind you what John said about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Greatness.
He said in John chapter 1
gentleness,
that the Lord
excuse
Jesus
me.
Christ was full
That'll
of
turn the world
grace
upside down.
And truth.
Let me read a story, if I can, to you about
say
the
it this way.
Difference that gentleness
truth,
and compassion can make.
And grace.
It was a story in a Baptist publication of a fifth grade school teacher named Miss Thompson.
Gentleness
Every September, Miss Thompson greeted her new students
empty,
with these words.
Sentimentality.
Boys and girls, I love you all the same. I have no favorites. Of course, the writer said she wasn't being completely truthful. Teachers do have favorites, and what is worse, they sometimes have students they just don't like.
And compassion can make.
Teddy Stollard was a boy Miss Thompson just didn't like,
and
for good reason. He was a sad boy who sat slouched in his seat with his head down.
Every September,
when she spoke to him, he always responded in monosyllables of yes and no.
I love you all the same.
His clothes were dirty.
I have no faith.
His hair was unkempt.
Of course, the writer
He was an unattractive boy in just about every way.
Teachers do have
Whenever she marked Teddy's
worse,
papers, she got a certain perverse delight out of putting X's next to the wrong answers.
Teddy Stollard was a boy,
and when she put an F at the top of his paper, she always did it with
he
a flair.
He was a sad boy who sat
she should have known
in
better.
His seat with his head down.
One day, she decided to look back at Teddy's file. It had notes from every grade. She was surprised to see the report from first grade.
His hair was unkempt.
Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude,
just about
but has a poor home situation.
Whenever she marked Teddy's
The second
papers,
grade report said Teddy is a good boy,
out of putting X's
but he is too serious for
answers.
A second grader.
And when she put
his
an
mother
at the top of his
is
paper,
terminally
she
ill.
She always did it with a flair.
Third grade.
She should have known better.
Teddy is becoming withdrawn
One day,
and detached.
She decided to look back at Teddy's
His mother
file.
Died this year.
It had notes from every
His
grade.
Father shows no interest.
She was surprised to see the report
Fourth
from
grade.
First grade.
Teddy is a troubled
shows
child.
With his work and
he
attitude,
needs help.
But has a poor home situation.
Christmas came that year, and the children
the
brought presents to Miss Thompson and piled
boy,
them on her desk.
But he is too
they crowded around to
grader.
Watch her open them.
His mother.
All the presents were wrapped
Ill.
In beautiful, bright colored paper,
Third
except
grade.
For Teddy's.
Teddy is
His was wrapped in brown paper,
detached.
Held together with scotch
His mother
tape.
Died this year.
But to tell the truth, Miss Thompson was surprised that he even brought a present.
Fourth grade.
When she
Teddy
tore open the paper, out fell a rhinestone bracelet with most of the
Christmas
stones missing
that year
and an almost empty bottle of cheap perfume.
Them on her desk.
The other children giggled at the shabby
them.
Gifts,
All
but Miss Thompson had enough sense to snap on the bracelet,
paper,
take some perfume
Teddy's.
Out of the almost
His
empty bottle, and
paper,
dab it on her wrist.
Held together with scotch
Holding
tape.
Her wrist up to the other
but
children, she
truth,
said, isn't
Miss
it
Thompson
lovely?
Was surprised that he even brought
the other children, taking their cue
when she
from the teacher,
the paper,
all agreed.
Out fell a rhinestone
At the end of the day, when all of the other children
the
had left,
missing,
Teddy came over to her desk and said softly,
of
Miss Thompson,
perfume.
All day today
the other
you
children
just
giggled
like my mother
at the
used to smell.
But Miss Thompson had
That's her bracelet you're wearing.
Bracelet.
It looks Take very nice on
out
you.
Of the almost empty bottle,
I'm really glad you like my presence.
Holding her wrist
After
up
he
to
left
the other
that
children,
day, Miss Thompson
said,
got down
lovely.
On her knees and buried her head, in her hands
teacher,
and cried and cried and cried and asked God
At
to
the
forgive
end of
her
the day, when all of
for
the other
lack
children
of compassion
left, Teddy
Teddy
came
Stollard.
Over to her desk and said softly,
The next day, when the children came to class, they had a brand new teacher. It was still Miss Thompson. But she was a
That's
brand new person.
You're wearing.
She cared in ways that the
nice
old Miss Thompson
you.
Didn't, and she reached out in ways
like
that the
presence.
Old Miss Thompson didn't. She reached out to all
day,
the children, but especially to Teddy.
Knees,
she nurtured
and
him and encouraged
head,
him,
head and, her hands,
and stayed late after school when he needed help with his
God
work.
Her,
and by the end of that school year, Teddy had caught up with the rest of
the children.
The next
day when the children came
In fact, he was even ahead of some.
Teacher.
The
it
next year, Teddy
Thompson,
moved away from her
but she
town.
She was a brand new person.
And Miss Thompson didn't
she
hear from him for a long
the
time.
Old Miss Thompson didn't,
then one day,
out
seemingly out of nowhere, came a note in the mail that read like this.
She reached out to all the children,
Dear Miss Thompson,
but especially to Teddy.
I'm graduating
she
from
nurtured
high school.
Him and encouraged him.
I wanted you to be
and
the first to know,
after school
love,
he needed help
Teddy Stollard.
And by
there
the
was
end
no
of
address,
year,
but four
Teddy
years later, she received another note. And it
In
read,
fact,
Dear Miss Thompson,
ahead of some.
I wanted you to be the first
the next
to know
year, Teddy moved
I'm
away
second
from her
in
town.
My class.
And Ms. Thompson,
university has not been easy, but I really liked it.
Then one day, seemingly out of nowhere, came a note in the mail that read like this.
And 4 years later, there was yet another note. Dear Ms. Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore J. Stollard, M.D.
Teddy Stollard.
How about that?
There was no
I wanted you to be the first to know.
4 years later,
I'm going to be married.
And it read, Dear
on the 27th of July, to be exact.
I wanted you to be the first to know.
And I want you to
I'm
come
second in my
and
class.
Sit where my mother would have
University
sat.
Has not been
You're
easy,
the only family
I, really
I have
it.
Now.
Love,
Dad died
Teddy
last
Stollard.
Year. Love,
And four
Teddy
years
Stollard.
Later, there was yet another note.
Ms. Thompson, of course,
Dear
went
Ms.
to Teddy's wedding.
As of today,
and she sat
I am
where
Theodore
Teddy's mother
J.
would have
Stollard
sat because she deserved
D.
to be there.
How about
and guess
that?
What?
I wanted
she
you
wore
to
that
be the
bracelet.
First to know.
The one with
I'm
several rhinestones missing. And she made sure that she was wearing
exact,
some of the perfume that Teddy remembered his mother wearing
and
on their last Christmas together.
You're the only
After the wedding, they hugged
now.
Each other.
Dad
and Dr. Stollard whispered in Ms. Thompson's ear,
Teddy Stollard.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson, for believing
Ms. Thompson,
in me.
Of course, went
Thank
to
you
Teddy's
so much for making me
and
feel
she
important.
Sat where Teddy's mother
and showing
would have
me
sat
that I could make a difference.
She deserved to be there.
Ms. Thompson, with tears in her eyes, whispered back. She said, Teddy, you have it all wrong.
And she
you were
sure
the one that taught me I could
the
make a difference.
That Teddy remembered
I didn't know how to teach
on their last
until
Christmas
I met
together.
You.
After the wedding,
ladies
they
and
hugged
gentlemen,
each
it's
other,
true.
And Dr.
We
Stollard
need boldness,
whispered in Ms. Thompson's ear.
But compassion.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson,
and
for
love,
believing in me.
And gentleness.
Thank you so much for
makes
making
a
me
difference
feel
in this world that nothing
showing me that I could make a difference.
And because we've been entrusted with the gospel. We've been called to have the heart of Jesus Christ.
You were the one that taught me I could make a difference.
You can read the rest of the passage.
I didn't know how to teach.
It's a call to courage, a call of compassion, and a call to character. Paul says, you saw how holily and justly and unblameably I behaved myself. Because all the courage and compassion in the world won't mean a thing if our character invalidates the message.
And because
now let me close
with this.
With
the gospel,
I've been trusted with some great things in my
to
life.
Have the heart of Jesus
when you're a young man, all you want
a
is a car.
Compassion.
And I remember on my 16th birthday,
the
there was a little
a
box
courage,
that was wrapped up for me from my parents.
And a
it was about the size that a set of keys would fit inside.
Says,
and I opened up that
and
box.
And
sure enough, it was a set of
myself.
Keys. I said, Mom and Dad, you didn't buy me a car. And they said, we didn't. Those are the keys to the minivan.
Now let me close with this. I've been trusted.
It wasn't a new car, but they had committed a car to my trust.
All you want is
I hate to report to you, I did not keep that which they had committed to me. Within 2 weeks, I had wrecked that thing. I drove it all over town with all sorts
of
shenanigans. In West Texas, when you happen to get rain, all the rednecks take their big trucks and they go mudding. And one day I took our family minivan out to a mud hole and got it stuck.
We did it. Those are the keys to the minivan.
Wasn't exactly faithful with that which had been committed to my trust.
It wasn't a new car, but they had committed a car to my trust.
July the 22nd, 2006,
I did not keep that.
Dr. Ron Maggard walked his darling daughter down the aisle.
I drove it all
and
over
as I saw
town
my beloved bride
of
walking down the aisle,
in West Texas,
a wave of joy
rain,
and a wave of responsibility washed
muddy.
Over me.
And one day I took our
Another person was putting her life in
and
my
got
hands,
it stuck.
Committing herself
wasn't exactly
to my trust.
Faithful with that which had
what
been
a sacred
committed
trust.
Placed
it was November
hands.
The 29th,
July
and I
the
held in my hands a ball of bones
Dr.
and
Ron
skin
walked his
that was red and hair that was even redder. We called that 6-pound bundle of joy Will Haddon.
A wave of joy and a
and
wave
like I'd never felt at any time in my life. I felt something had been committed
was
to my
her
trust.
Life in my hands,
something great had been given to me to mold
to
for God's glory.
What a sacred trust.
And I committed from the very first moment of his life that I'd be faithful to the trust
and I held in my
that God
hands
had given me.
A ball of bones.
I remember just over 3 years ago
that was red and hair that
when I knelt right there on ground level.
We called that 6
and Dr. Weaver came and put his hands on me and prayed over me. And Dr. Barber
and like
came.
Like I never felt it.
And Mike Patterson
in my life,
came.
I
and Brother Rigsby came.
Committed to my trust.
And the other ordained ministers
something
in this church came and
to
they
to
put their hands
God's
upon
God's
me
glory.
And I was being given
and
the sacred trust
the
of being
the
next pastor of Worth Baptist Church.
that God gave me.
I can't explain to you what an awesome privilege and responsibility.
Over 3 years ago,
I felt at that moment.
When I knelt right there on ground level.
I have had the privilege in my life of being given some wonderful trust.
And Dr. Barber came.
The most wonderful thing I was ever trusted with happened when I was 6 years old in the office of my pastor. I trusted God with something. I trusted Him with my soul. And the one that I loved most, the one that I loved more than anything, trusted me with a possession so full of price and value that He procured it with His own blood. He trusted me with the gospel.
Some wonderful trust.
And He's trusted it to you.
The most wonderful thing I was ever trusted
Not
with
just to receive
happened
it.
Happened when I was 6 years old.
But to be responsible for it.
I trusted God
and it
with
was
something.
A call
I trusted Him with my
courage.
Soul. And the one and that I loved most. The one that I loved more than anything trusted me with a possession so full of price and value that He procured it with His own blood. He trusted me with the gospel.
If other people in our community are going to receive it,
not just to receive,
it will be because some Christian was faithful to the trust you gave them. They had courage. They were willing to open up their mouths and be bold. They had compassion. It's something that is sorely lacking in so many of our lives. And they had character. The message of their life would not contradict the message of their lips. Father, would you help us to understand the sacred responsibility you've given us to be entrusted with the gospel? And may we be faithful to it. It's in Jesus' name I pray.